الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، وصلى الله على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. اللهم صل. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وقوله الحق وهو أصدق الصادقين: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإذ ابتلى إبراهيم ربه بكلمات فأتمهن قال إني جاعلك للناس إماما قال ومن ذريتي قال لا ينال عهد الظالمين. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Tonight is the 15th of the holy month of Ramadan and the Milad and Viladat of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salatu wassalam. My congratulations to you all, and we were expecting a bigger crowd, but we have to just live with what we have. So I just read to you the ayat 124 of Surah Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wa idh ibtala Ibrahim rabbuhu," when the Lord tried Ibrahim alayhi salam with certain words, and he completed them, he fulfilled them, then the Lord said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Surely, certainly I am appointing you for the people as an imam." And he said, Ibrahim alayhi salam said, "Wa min dhurriyati," what about my progeny, my offspring? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "La yanalu ahd al-zalimin," this position, this ahd, this covenant will not be reached by the evildoers, by the oppressors. In the Islamic philosophy, and also in the light of Quran and Hadith, imamat has a very distinct position, and imamat is a rank which is higher than nubuwwat. I will translate. I will just mention some of the points regarding this ayat kareema. Ibrahim alayhi salam, at an advanced age, goes from nubuwwat to risalat. Then he was tested by Allah through certain words, kalimatin, and he fulfilled them. Now it may be the test of the sacrifice of his son, where, you know, Quran mentions that Ibrahim alayhi salam saw that he is slaughtering his son, and so he mentioned that to Ismail alayhi salam, and they both went, and that account of history is known to all of us. And followed by that, there is a belief that followed by that, this ayat was this ayat refers to that event, that after that Allah offered him, gave him the position of imamat. Naturally, if he was already a Nabi, already a Rasul, imamat was given later on. So if he was not demoted, he was promoted to a higher rank, because by completing this test, he was given a higher place. When you complete a test and you fulfill a test, you don't get demoted, you don't lose a rank, you gain a rank. So gaining a rank over Risalat and Nubuwwat means that imamat is a higher rank than Nubuwwat. And I would request that in the middle of the program, please don't say salam, although I love to hear salam from people, but it just distracts us. So please, just do not say salam when you enter. Okay, qala wa min dhurriyati, what about my offspring? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this position of imamat will not be achieved, will not be acquired by the zalimeen. Zalimeen is a person, zalimeen is a plural of zalim. Zalim is an oppressor. an unjust person. Unjust people will never become imams. What is the meaning of unjust person? An unjust person can either be a person who was unjust in the past, or is unjust now, or will be unjust in the future, or all of these. Right? But this ayah says all the unjust people, anyone who has done injustice in his life, is not worthy of reaching the position of imamah. Therefore, anyone who has any stain in his life, of any zulm, any oppression to himself, herself, or anyone else, is not worthy of achieving the rank of imamah. Of course, this itself shows that many points which just came, you know, in the course of the discussion, that it is a rank higher than nubuwwat. Yes, we strongly believe that imamat was a position shared by the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma sallam. Just as Ibrahim alayhi salam was imam and rasul, the Holy Prophet of Islam was also an imam and a rasul, highest of all the prophets, and shared by the Aimma Tahireen min Wulde Fatima wa Ali alayhi salam, who were from the line of the daughter of the Holy Prophet. In the light of alaykum salam, a rational, you know, analysis of leadership and imamat, we also see that the human beings need a perfect exemplar whose knowledge of reality is absolute. That means he, in his thinking, he makes no errors. And in his actions, you know, he does not make any errors, no mistakes in actions. And in the past also, from the times of Greek philosophers, they believed in a philosopher king, you know, the philosopher who should rule. And that's what they mean. The king is a word that's misleading. A ruler, administrator should be a philosopher, a hakim. And a hakim is a person whose knowledge is, you know, completely corresponds to reality. He does not make any error in understanding. And similarly, in his practical decisions, right, in understanding, he does not experience any doubts or confusion. Right? Now, one way to achieve that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give the knowledge of reality to the person, which we call infallible, ma'asum. That means Allah give this knowledge to a person, that this person has access to all knowledge. This is a hakim in the true sense. Alaykum salam. And then you have that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends him shari'at, right? So he's born with an eye to the reality. That means born a complete philosopher, hakim. Makes no mistakes in knowing the facts. Knowing, for example, the aqa'id. His aqa'id are absolutely right. Can we have some silence, please, brothers, sisters? Similarly, for example, Allah sends down revelation, so He knows His duties about everything. Now, in the time where you do not have an imam ma'soom, you do not have a hakim who has received revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the times we live in the time of ghaibat, the imam is present, we don't see him. Imam is doing what he's supposed to do, but we are blinded because of our own sins and because of our disobedience. Now, in these times, what are we supposed to do? We are obviously, our duty is to follow a person who knows hikmat, right? And who knows his duties through ijtihad. Because if you are not receiving a wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you must be able to know the shari'at and wahi and teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt through the ijtihad, Through ijtihad you know that. Right? So that, so going back to the ayat, which says that the rank of imamat is higher than nubuwwat. Based on this belief, there were some who understood this belief. Therefore, after the shahadat of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wa salam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, they flocked around Imam al-Mujtaba alayhi salam, and they did his bay'at. Now those who were doing his bay'at, few of them really regarded and believed this as a fundamental belief, that Imam should be a ma'asum. Imam is a person appointed by Allah and Prophet, and therefore he is wajibul ita'at, that his ita'at is wajib upon me. But few were those people, very few. Generally the people respected Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam, because he said he is the grandson of the Prophet. Right? We see in history that Imam alayhi salam, he resembled the Holy Prophet very much. His personality was very attractive in many ways. He used to come out of the house, there was a huge crowd of people just waiting there to see him. It is mentioned in history that he was so good looking in many ways, and that was it. And it is also mentioned that an old person, it was either a Jewish person or a Christian, he was a beggar. He was sitting on the side of the street, right in front of the Imam's house, just for money, you know, begging. Imam alayhi salam came out, and Imam was, you know, at the height of his youth and wearing very nice clothes. He came out, and he saw Imam alayhi salam, and he said, "I have a question." And he said, "My question is that you all say that this world is a prison for the believers, right? And it is a jannat for the kuffar. But I see that you are, look at my condition and your condition. It doesn't seem like it is a prison for you, and it doesn't seem like it is a jannat for me. I'm a destitute, old man, nobody cares for me, begging for money, for something to buy my food, and look at your condition. What sort of an answer you would think of giving this question?" Imam alayhi salam said, "Yes, this is true. If you knew what awaits us in the other life, you would consider this my prison. And if you knew what waits for you over there, this is your jannat." Got the reply of Imam alayhi salam? Salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. It is said that because of the propaganda against Imam alayhi salam, and this propaganda still continues, Imam is really mazloom, because the kind of things they say about him are not found in books. And the books, by books I mean really like credible sources. Even the general like compilations of history, you don't find those things over there. You find them in sources that are not even considered primary sources of hadith, and made up by people. And for us at least, we don't trust any hadith which is not from Imam Masum. For us, hadith does not mean some sahabi has said something. We don't even count it as a hadith. For us, hadith means either the Prophet of Allah or Imam Ali and Fatima al-Zahra, any of the Masumeen said something or did something, narrated through trustworthy scholars and people who are authenticated by the ulama, by the Imam himself, or the consensus of ulama in those times, right? And we have alhamdulillah, a good literature on Ilm al-Rijal. Ilm al-Rijal is not a subject where our ulama have, you know, left any stone unturned, as they say. You know, really, really. In the issue of Rijal, from the start, living under persecution, the ashab who were narrating from Imam, there was traditions, there were many checks and balances. Our hadith is a very credible source. And then people unfortunately listen to things from outside that have no basis in history, no basis in the books of hadith, and they assign those things to Imam. Imam was mazloom then, because of course Muawiyah was trying his best to bring down the Imam, the Khilafat of Imam Mustafa alayhi salam. It did not last more than 6 months. Imam was the one who saw that that Muawiyah sending spies. He challenged Muawiyah, and Muawiyah waged the war. Imam alayhi salam sent forces, and the situation was, Imam predicted that you all will not be loyal to me. Your promises, you will not keep your promises. The result was that even before an encounter happened, the commanders, they were bribed by Muawiyah, offered 500,000 dirhams, you marry my daughter, I'll give you the wilayat of this place, Sham, I'll give you that, you know, all kinds of promises. And the money that was just like flooding. And Imam knew it. Imam told the people, took bayat from such, took the, you know, promise from such people, commanders, in front of the whole army. And still they went and took the money from Muawiyah and went and changed sides, left the camp of, you know, camp, left the army. In such situation, Imam was attacked. Imam used to wear zirah, you know, armor in under his clothes, because when he wanted to go out for Salatul Jama'ah, he used to wear an armor in his under his clothes because of the extent of danger. Because so many Khawarij and Munafiqeen and Jawasis, you know, spies, had infiltrated into his army. There was no count. It was just all over the place. And they were waiting to basically, that the, when the battle starts, they will basically capture Imam Mustafa alayhi salam and hand him over. Imam alayhi salatu wasalam knew very well that going any further into this battle means that those few loyal people will get killed. Those few loyal, true Shias, who were the real fighting force of Imam, would be killed. And there will be no future for Islam. Today me and you are talking about it, we will not be there anymore. Because those who really propagated Imamat were those who were taught by Imam Ali and Imam Mustafa. We are talking about early Islam. We are not talking about today. Shia history has been through a lot, that we are now in such great numbers. There was a day when Mutawakkil, he ordered killing of Alawiyin, because Bani Abbas took revenge against Alawi. Bani Abbas were also from Bani Hashim, and Alawi were from Ali and Fatima Abu Talib, Ibn Abdul Muttalib, and Bani Abbas were from Abbas Ibn Abdul Muttalib. So they were both from Bani Hashim. When Bani Abbas came to power, they took revenge against Alawiyin, which were also, you know, Bani Hashim were from Bani Abi Talib, you know, and ordered execution of Alawiyin all over the Islamic world. Thousands of Alawiyin were killed in one day, Iraq and Iran, of those times. You go visit, you know, Iraq or Iran, you see every few miles of some grave of some, like Imamzad. They were mostly from the time of Bani Abbas, you will see them. And many from the time of Muawiyah also. But Bani Abbas regime, they specially concentrated on Alawiyin. Bani Umayyah were against all the Bani Hashim, right? But Bani Abbas saw the, you know, Bani Alawiyin as their rivals. They saw that this Imamat is continuing in their line. And they saw that Imam Mustafa alayhi salam is worthy of Khilafat. And because of that, the propaganda started. Hassan alayhi salam is marrying so many wives, you know, he's got so many. Hassan alayhi salam is this and this, that, all kinds of things. And they brainwashed the people. There's such one person, this accounted that one person from Sham, old person, he came to Medina, and the moment he saw Imam Mustafa and recognized him, he started slandering him and You know, bad mouthing, all kinds of things he said to Imam on the street, in front of everybody. Now, Imam just waited calmly until he was done. Imam al-Islam smiled. Smiled at him. He said, probably the issue has become confused upon you. If you want us to be pleased with you, we are ready to be happy, show our pleasure with you, you know. Rizayat, even before, he said, we are ready to show you, give you our rizayat. If you need money, we can provide you help. If you need a place to stay, we offer you our place to stay, we have a big house, as narrated. If you want to keep your stuff somewhere, we have a place you can come. Any other help, we can provide you. The moment Imam finished speaking, this person, imagine you have just insulted someone and this is how he treats you with such grace. So he said, he raised his hand and he said, I am a witness that you and your family deserve to be the successors of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The propaganda was huge. Just like the media campaign today against, you know, our ulama, against Wilayatul Faqih, against, you know, everything. The amount of propaganda that's happening today, you can see. Turn on the TV and see what they're doing to Islam and Muslims. The kind of legislation is going on around the country right now, affecting Muslims, Muslim communities, Muslim masajid, Muslim organizations, everything that they're doing right now. And especially against the Shia. Today they see that the Shia Muslims, you know, are the true picture of Islam. They are presenting Islam. They are away from violence. They are people who are preaching human values, true values, you know. They are the ones who stand by Islam truly, by Islamic principles. They don't just say Allahu Akbar and start beheading people, you know. That's what they are doing in Syria right now. Alaykum salam. They're doing in Saudi Arabia and other places. In the name of Islam, they are doing everything. Such a shame they have brought to Islam all over the world. But what we see is that because of such example, the great example of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, that because they were such great people, they had to basically get into the hadith books and fabricate hadith against them. There was no other way to malign their personality than to make up things against them. And alhamdulillah, despite all these, our challenges have not just been, for example, challenges on our lives. Even challenges in terms of, for example, fabrication of hadith against Aimma. But alhamdulillah, because of the way our hadith literature and ilmul hadith is designed, the way it is researched, you know, there's no possibility of any of these ahadith to pass through the screening process. Any of such fabricated ahadith ja'ali, maj'ul, to pass the, you know, screening test. Everything is clearly screened. The hadith literature in Shia Islam is something of pride of Islam. If it was not the hadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, Islam would not have survived. Imam alayhi salam stood up against Muawiyah, challenged him. There were so many munazarat and debates. Imam's chivalry and courage in the battle of Jamal, in the battle of Siffin, that Imam alayhi salam charged and attacked the enemy himself. The kind of courage he showed on many instances, wherever. There were times when Imam Ali alayhi salam, according to some accounts, he asked that Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain would stay behind, because he said the nasl of Rasulullah must continue. They were fighting so bravely that Imam became concerned that what if my sons get killed? Because the nasl of the Holy Prophet, the line of Prophet, لا ينالو عهد الظالمين. No zalim can reach the covenant of Allah. No zalim can reach this place of imamat. Imamat is restricted to these people. Restricted. You will find east and north, east, west, south, wherever you won't find one single person who does not have some stain in his character. Where will you find a person who will be impeccable? You know, his character is completely, you know, perfect in all respects. And it's because of such perfection that we believe in, that Imam must be a perfect human being, that any such hadith basically coming at even giving an indirect impression that about some flaw in Imam's character, we reject it. We are not short of hadith, alhamdulillah. There is no Shia mazhab is not short of hadith in any way. Just one book, I probably mentioned the other night, just one book, Biharul Anwar, has 100,000 hadiths in it. All the books of hadith of Ahlul Sunnah you gather, collect together, it's not more than 15,000 hadiths. Just one collection of Shia hadiths is 100,000 hadiths. We are not short of hadiths in any subject, on any subject. Three centuries of narration of hadith. And Imam alayhi salam was forced to sign a treaty agreement with Muawiyah, right? It was for the sake of the fact that the time has not come for Karbala. Karbala requires another time. Because the Shahadat must have an impact on the Muslim community. The kind of impact Karbala had on history, right, on the conscience of the society, Imam Hassan's Shahadat would not have had that kind of impact. Basically, our Imams being in Masoom, they were receiving direction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The door of Hidayat from Allah to the Imam was open. As long as the Imams were there, even today, Imam is present, he is connected to Allah. Allah speaks to him and he speaks to God. You know, Allah never closed his door. We are the ones who close our doors to God. Allah is open, Allah is speaking to human beings. Some listen, some don't. There are some who listen all the time. And Imam is a masoom person whose heart is open. And Imam was guiding him. Just as his brother Imam Sayyid al-Shuhada alayhi salam, he made the decisions all by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reasons and philosophy that we present, right, is for beginners. So people who want to rationalize things. For a believer who knows the need for an Imam on earth, he knows that an Imam is a person who acts by the order of Allah. So you basically follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because the orders and commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are to be obeyed. Whether they have a philosophy or they don't have a philosophy. Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was ordered by Allah, when he saw the dream that he was going to go and slaughter his son, right? He was slaughtering his son, he saw that in his dream. Didn't he know that this is the nasl of Nubuwwat and Imamat will be through this son? Didn't he know that? He prayed, he made, O Allah, Ummatan Muslimatan. You know, he prayed that from future there should be a Ummat Muslima from me. He prayed this when he was building Kaaba. But Allah ordered, he saw in his dream, he's slaughtering his son. What did he say? Did he ask Allah, O Allah, are you asking me to kill my son who is going to be the forefather of all the future, the last prophet of Allah and the Imam? He didn't say that. He saw in his dream, he complied. He went. Allah knows what he was doing. When he went, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا. Ibrahim, you have fulfilled your promise. What you saw in your dream, you did it. We know your intention. We know your yaqeen. We know your conviction. It is based on his conviction, قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا. You had the niyat to obey the orders. And that is it. In some riwayat, we find that Ibrahim alayhi salam was feeling sad that he could not slaughter his son. Maybe there was something in his niyat why it was not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Ibrahim, Ibrahim, do you love your son more or do you love the son of the last prophet that I will send? You know? He said, I love your last prophet more than I love my son. And his son is more dear to me than my own son. Then Allah told Ibrahim alayhi salam what will happen to the son, grandson of Holy Prophet, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And Ibrahim cried on that. وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. That is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replace this sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam with a bigger sacrifice, which was the shahadat of Imam Mazlum alayhi salam later on. All the Imams acted by the order of Allah. Sayyidul Shuhada, I'm just wrapping up. Sayyidul Shuhada, when he was leaving Medina, he did not leave on his own. They demanded bayat from Imam. Imam gave them the response that we are Ahlul Bayt al-Nubuwa. We are the family of Nubuwat, right? But that night he was in Medina at the Haram all night. That next day he was in Medina. The following night back at the Haram of Rasulullah all night, praying all night. Until close to Sahar, when he put his head on the qabr of Rasulullah, that's when he saw Rasulullah coming down on earth, surrounded by angels, malaik, you know. And he took Imam Hussein alayhi salam in his arms. And he said, as the account summarizing it, that the ummah has disobeyed us. They have left us, turned their backs on us. And Holy Prophet said, Hussein, my Hussein, Ali and Fatima and all are waiting for you. You have a great rank before Allah. Sayyidul Shuhada said, grandfather to Rasulullah, I don't want to go back to the dunya. I want to go with you. I have no need to go back to dunya. Rasulullah said, the rank Allah has kept for you, you will achieve it through your shahadat. And that was the... And then the Prophet said to Imam Hussein to go, to leave. That's when, that morning Imam Hussein left Medina. All the Imams acted by the order of Allah. This should, the debate around who said who, what Imam did, which action, why he did this, why did this, is for people who don't understand this fact. Their belief is weak. They don't understand what Imamat is. If they know what Imamat is, they read the khutbah of Imam Raza about Imamat that he gave in Marv, you will know that this is not a matter for you and I to question and ask why this happened, why that happened. The action of Imam itself is hujjat. Because he did it, you have to follow. You don't say why he's fighting, why the other Imam is signing a truce. You know? That's how a person, a Shia means a believer, a follower. Shia is a follower. Shia follows the leader. Shia doesn't question. There are other people, you know, who believe in some sort of democracy and they say, no, we why should Allah appoint anyone of us? We choose from ourselves. We elect a person. Right? Well, if that was the case, the Holy Prophet of Islam would not have done what he did in Ghadir Khum. At the Ghadir Khum, the Holy Prophet did not ask the people, how many of you would like to have Ali as your Imam? Raise your hand, for example. He did not ask people to tell him what they feel. He said, Man kuntu maulahu, fahada aliyun maulahu, Allahumma wale man maulahu. Even if no one would have come to give bayat, he said, Man kuntu maulahu, whoever I am the master of, this Ali is his master, wallah, wale man maulahu, whoever is behind Ali, you be his wali. Who is against Ali, you be his enemy too. That's it. Declaration. Announcement and declaration. Nas. It was not election. Imamat is not a position to be elected. No one gets elected for Imamat. And Imamat is leadership. Khilafat is part of Imamat. Khilafat is part of. And the duty of the people is not to elect the Imam. The duty of the people is to support the Imam. Because a person of a higher rank of knowledge, a lay person does not know his worth, does not know his caliber. People, you know, general people, even in everyday life, if you are not belong, you don't belong to a field, you don't know. If you are not a doctor yourself, you don't know what kind of a doctor that is. It's not written on his face, is it? Doctors know what which one is the higher, you know, more experienced than doctor. You know. Among the Ahl Khibra, among the Mujtahideen, the top Mujtahideen would know which one is worthy of becoming a leader of the Ummah. It's not your job and my job to think about why they selected him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our ibadat. I think I hear the sound of adhan. Is it adhan? Okay, inshallah Allah accept this ibadat and taqabbal Allah amalakum salawat.